Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Tommy Dreamer, and Bully Ray talk NXT and the Shotzi injury. And Bully and Tommy have some takes on injuries that impacted their career. We talk about that. Also, we talked to Alex Shelley just before his big matchup with Moose at No Surrender. And Alex Shelley also talks about the departure of Scott D'Amore. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I want to start with NXT. And NXT last night, guys, was great. I mean, I really enjoyed that show a lot. But unfortunately, it's going to be overshadowed by the injury from Shotzi. And Tommy, watching that main event last night, or what we thought was going to be the main event last night, from your eyes as an athlete, as a wrestler, what happened there? Because it didn't seem like it was anything out of the ordinary. It just looked like Shotzi jump and Bully, you're shaking your head, but go ahead.
I don't want to trump Tommy. I'm shaking my head because I have a story about what happened to Shotzi last night, but I'd like to hear what Tommy has to say first.
No, you can go first.
You were about to ask Tommy about, like, what happened? It looks so simple. Like, when you go back and watch it, all she did was she was standing on the apron, and all she did was gently jump off the apron and landed on both feet, right? Mm-hmm. But her ACL gave out and tore, correct?
Yes.
Tommy, you know where I'm going with this?
Yep, go ahead.
It's the exact way I shattered my ankle, Dave. Barely legal, the first ECW pay-per-view. I'm watching Shotzi jump off, and I see what happened, and I'm like, oh, my God. I jumped down, weight buckled, my knee, my ankle buckled under the weight, shattered my ankle. Sometimes it's the stupidest stuff in pro wrestling. It's like when Cena tore his pec. He tore his pec giving somebody a hip toss. You never think of getting injured on these simplistic moves. You would think, oh, the 450 acai moonsault to the floor. You know, something's going to happen. No. Shotzi just jumped down, and one little thing went wrong inside her knee. Boom, ACL tear.
And it's not like, you know, when Bully did it, he was jumping off the apron onto concrete. Here, there's those floors are padded. It's just, you know, science in the sense of its weight, velocity, and jumping down. It just happens. You saw it on the Super Bowl where the player was getting ready to jump on the field. He's just excited. He takes two steps. He tore his ACL. I mean, he tore his Achilles. He's out all next year because of that. And everyone's like, what the hell go on? It's just freak things like that happen to your body, but it's also because of how you're abusing your body. It's probably a move she's done a bunch of times before. Like the football player, what do you think about football? I have to wait. What do you push off of? You push off of your feet, and what is that? Your Achilles. And eventually it's snapped. For her, she does a lot of aerial stuff, jumping off the top rope, all that stuff. It sucks, but it is. It's the wear and tear. And then something like that is, as you know, when we always say, like, we risk our lives, and these are the things that can happen where it's really, I mean, it's not simple where, yes, you think it, but so many things could have gone wrong. If she would have held on to her as she was going down too, because if her leg popped, Now you're holding a person and could have either driven her or fall and crack the person's neck. There's so many things that, you know, can just totally, totally mess you up.
And what Tommy just mentioned about if she would have held on to the other, who was the other girl again? Just real quick.
It's Lyra.
Lyra.
If she would have held on to Lyra while the knee buckled, she would have pulled Lyra right down with her. Because you instinctually, when you lose a knee, when you lose an ankle, when something buckles out from underneath you, you instinctually try to grab something to brace your fall. You don't realize in that nanosecond that you're holding another human body and you're going to bring that body down with you because you're subconsciously trying to protect yourself. And that's where the disaster could happen. Thank God when she did hit the floor, she buckled in a way where she propelled herself away from Lyra. Like she fell in a direction where she couldn't even hold on to Lyra, or at least what my eyes saw. So it could have been a lot worse, but my God, Dave, I mean, the drop from the apron to the floor is 3 feet, 4 feet. It's not that big. But anything can happen in that ring. I tell students who sign up, I mean, I give them the morbid reality of you could have anything happen from a hangnail to death. And I actually use those words because pro wrestling is so different for the body to do. You train your body to become a giant callus and be broken down so you can actually take all of this abuse. You know, when you have a callus on your hand or on your foot, you could squeeze that callus, you could scratch the callus, you could do anything you want to that callus, but it doesn't, you don't feel anything, you don't hurt, because that callus has been built up to withstand just about anything. And that's what a wrestler does to their entire body if they're trained the right way. You break your body down to withstand anything.
Back to ECW and a similar thing. Taz getting out of the ring after a victory, cut his shin to the bone on a piece of metal of the ring, and he had to miss a pay-per-view. And then just like last night, someone else stepped up. In the Taz case, Bully Ray stepped up, and Bully took Taz's place and wrestled on the pay-per-view the next week because they wouldn't let Taz wrestle. And then last night, I thought Last Legend and the entire NXT crew did an amazing job of calling things on the fly. Yes, they were blessed that week by chance to be a tape show, because obviously, you know, when it happened live, they sent all the doctors down, they scrambled in the back, you could reset, tell the people to stay tight, we got an injury. And then here came Rock's daughter, I forgot her name, Ava, right? That's her name.
Yeah.
Ava. Yep.
And then here comes Lash Legend, and you could see the referee telling Lyra, like, hey, we're doing this, and the woman tore it up, and they did a great job.
And I will say this, and you know, I can't give enough credit to what NXT is doing right now, and I want to get more into what they're doing right now, but you mentioned that it was a tape show, but that could have been live. Like, they showed everything in the moment as it was happening, even with Shotzi's injury and the aftermath of Shotzi's injury. But this is where it makes sense, because all right, here comes Ava. She makes the announcement. Whoever comes out here is going to get that championship opportunity. And who was it? It was Lash Legend. But why was it Lash Legend? Because Lash Legend just had a match, didn't have time to get out of her gear and take a shower. So she went out there with her wrestling gear on. Somebody who said that she wants another championship opportunity but missed out on it last night, Roxanne Perez. Why? Because Roxanne Perez just got out of the shower, didn't even understand it, because when this happened, she was in the shower, missed out on the opportunity. That's a great job of making it make sense to the viewer. Why was it Lash Legend? Because she was still in the back because she just had a match. That makes a lot of sense. It wouldn't have made sense if it was anybody else but Lash Legend last night.
And again, she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
I think the Roxanne Perez backstage stuff was probably taped after and inserted into the show.
Yeah.
But yes, they They dotted the I's. They crossed the T's. They did a great job of making sense of an unfortunate situation. I've also read Shotzi may be out 9 months due to this, and that's kind of like the timetable, which really, really stinks. But everybody did a really, really good job. And yes, by if there's any silver lining, the show went on, and I do think they edited parts of it where it wasn't shot in real time. But it was, you got really, really good main event, and they really, really did assess everything. And hey, we, and as always, the show must go on.
Yeah,
you know,
and
you
then,
have to fill that time.
But they, but I thought they did a great job with, you know, whether the viewer wanted to see it or not. You saw Shotzi go down, you saw her fall to her back and then grab her leg, and you could see her tell the referee, my leg. And her, it was amazing to watch Shotzi in that moment try to get up. Like, she tried to get up and couldn't get up. And at first you saw frustration. Like, she's trying to get up to continue with the match, trying to get back in the ring. And you see visibly she's frustrated. Then you see anger. Like, she starts getting angry, like, all right, this isn't happening. I'm understanding right now this isn't happening, and I'm not going to be able to continue with this match because of this injury. And you see her visibly get angry, and then you just see her break down. Like, she completely broke down in tears and, like, just uncontrollable crying, because then the reality sets in that, wow, this is something major, and this could affect my career. To see that play out in front of you like it did last night, and it happened in picture, which, guys, I actually think added to it, because now you're not hearing the commentators trying to explain it or give their version of it. It's you watching this in picture, and your mind is trying to comprehend exactly what's going on. And the only story that's being told is the story on Shotzi's face. And you feel for her in each phase, of the frustration to the anger to the sorrow. I almost broke down in tears watching that last night. And so now I am so emotionally invested in Shotzi. Like, I want to see her get better. I want to see her get well. And I can't wait for her return, because I lived it in the moment. I understand it was taped, it wasn't live, but it doesn't matter. You're living in that moment with her.
You know, if you look at the NFL edits when players get injured, they show it once because they don't want to promote the violence. But what is, you know, normally we want to do, we want to see updates. We want to see what happened, what that player did. Then we, you know, if somebody's taking a knee, then, I mean, the whole team takes a knee. If they cart them into, they show that, but they don't show the initial hit. This, why? Because it's human nature. It shows the game. And then it also shows, like, what players and human beings really, really go through, that range of emotion. When Bully talked about his stuff, I remember he kept looking down because I had to go and edit that show. And he kept looking at his leg and his foot, like, what the hell's going on? What's going on? I remember for me, on the other side of the ring, when I broke my heel, I went to get up. And I'm like, how come I can't get up? Like, what is going on? And then this burn throughout my leg. And I was like, oh, okay, this leg doesn't work. And I had to kind of like scrap everything and then go tell Beulah, you're wrestling Bill Alfonso now. On one leg, I had to hop over there, and also hurt the entire time, had to be like, watch this match, also react in real time and be like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain right now.
Dave, you know how you were just talking about watching the range of emotion mm-hmm. on Shotzi's face and watching her go through all of those emotions, concern, anger, sadness. You were on the same ride with her, correct?
Yes.
They say that right before you die, your life flashes before you in seconds. When you get an injury like that as a wrestler, your whole career flashes before your eyes, but in your mind, in seconds, and you think you're done. I can't even fully describe to you the panic that sets in to a wrestler's mind when they get an injury like that. Because you know being out for that long could seriously affect your career. If not, bring it to an end. And you might heal 100% and you're ready to go and did the best rehab you possibly can. And the doctor can turn around and tell the WWE, my God, Shotzi healed so well. Her ACL is stronger than it's ever been. She is good to go. And then creative has nothing for you at that moment. And what do? That's the fear when it comes to injuries. And that all flashes in your head. You wrestlers go almost instinctually to the negative in a snap of a finger. Well, because it's a traumatic experience. For when I shattered my ankle, I was terrified. Do you know who saved me that night? Bam Bam Bigelow. Because Bam Bam taught me how to lace my boots correctly. And if I didn't lace my boots the way Bam Bam taught me, I would have never made it through that match. Continued the match on a shattered ankle just because he taught me how to lace my boots the right way.
And to Bully's point, you know, it's not so much the negative, but again, football. This guy just went down. Hey, get up. He's hurt. You're in. We watched it last night. What goes through your brain? My spot is going to be taken. That spot was literally taken, and a great performance just was had by Lash Legend. And again, kudos to both women for doing that match kind of on the fly. But right then and there, that's the reality. And then in your head, it's like, I may never come back from this, or I can't wait to come back. But most people can't be like, I can't wait to come back, or God, I look forward to the time home. No, that ain't the case ever.
I know we're telling a lot of personal stories here based on injuries. What Tommy just said reminded me of exactly what I went through. When I shattered my ankle that night, when I finally made it back to the ECW arena, Paul told me, Bubba, don't worry. We're going to plug Big Dick into the spot. Dick will tag with D-Von. And once you're better, we'll get back on track. Now, me and D-Von were just taking off. We had just won the championships. We had just lost the championships. And we had something going. I knew in my mind, and this is no disrespect to Big Dick, and Tommy will back me up on this, I knew that if Dick was in my spot, that the Dudleys would have come to a grinding halt. Tommy, yes or no?
Yes. Big Dick was not the greatest wrestler for that spot.
So that's why I ripped my cast off after 3 days and continued to wrestle on a shattered ankle with a walking boot. That walking boot was passed down from Raven to Bubba to Dreamer, which is pretty funny. We all use the same walking boot. But that's what goes through my, like, I have to suck this injury up. I have to do something because we can't have the momentum stopped. Because either this guy's not going to be able to step up to the plate, or because they're going to fill my spot with somebody else. It's crazy what goes through a wrestler's mind and what they're willing to put their body through and work through injury. And unfortunately, this is why a lot of guys took handfuls of pills. Because they knew if they took time off, that their spot would be filled. So I'm going to pill myself up just to get through the pain. And then we get the negative on the back end from you know, swallowing pills. We all know the stories. And that's what can happen. All this shit can go on from a simple, I mean, her Shotzi's injury is not simple, but from an injury. I mean, and if you want to get crazy, let's get Austin on and ask him what went through his mind when he broke his neck, because those are real deal things.
Yeah.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice-cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked, from family farms and cold-press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Mr. Alex Shelley. Alex, how are you? And thank you so much for the time.
I'm doing really well. Excited for New Orleans. It's my honor to be here.
Alex, I got to ask you right off the bat. LaGreca described this as a no surrender rules match. Can you shed some more light on that? What exactly is a no surrender rules match?
Absolutely. We will have seconds. So he will have the system, Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers, Wisha. I will have Kevin Knight and Kushida. Our seconds choose when the match ends. They throw the towel in. When the towel hits the mat, referee sees it, it is over.
Okay, good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
First of its kind.
Yep.
We should book Arnold Skolin, but not be in your corner.
No. But Alex, I mean, for you, seeing that championship around Moose's waist, that's got to bother you, number one. And number two, how sweet would it be to be able to get this championship back so soon?
It bothers me in the sense that, of course, you lose, right? Like, champions don't want to lose, but I also accept that everything comes to an end. So I was fully prepared to be beaten at some point, but ultimately it's not what happens in that particular match. How you respond to it is what makes a champion. It's bittersweet because it's a TNA World Championship now. And while I was Impact World Champion, transitioned to TNA World Champion, I wanted to be the one that led TNA into the future, and I think that's my destiny. That didn't happen. So this is my chance for redemption. I got to make the most of it.
We talk a lot on, you know, text and when we're together, but being the face of a company, going from, you know, a very, very decorated tag team, you also continue to tag with your partner, but like seeing the company's growth and, you know, I would thank you for the house because as the champion, you did a lot of really, really good business, but how much did that mean to you personally to watch the growth and know that you're at that helm?
Oh man. First of all, for TNA to take me back 2 years ago, when I had stepped away from wrestling for a minute due to a number of reasons, mainly because I was working in the medical field, that alone meant the world because it meant there was a certain amount of faith in my abilities. And I came back, and I don't mean to sound braggadocious, but I killed it. And I think I spent the next year from 2022 to 2023 proving myself. And I was happy to do that because that's an honor, right? Like if there's one thing I realize, it's that pro wrestling can be taken away from you like that. Like we're not entitled to anything. But to actually be given a shot at the championship, to win it, and then to maintain it for 9 months. I think I had the third longest reign, and to have some of the best matches of my career, certainly the best matches of other people's careers as well. And certainly to transition Impact into TNA was so special. I'm never going to forget that. I'm forever grateful to our team for that. And I've told you that a million times. I've told other people that a million times too. I just did my best. That's all you can do.
Alex, got to ask the question, and I don't want to harp on this or monopolize the conversation, but you're talking about the team and how much appreciation that you've had for them. And that team probably is the entire creative team, management, and your fellow wrestlers. One of the biggest parts of that team is no longer there. Scott D'Amore, a couple of weeks ago, no longer with TNA. Your thoughts, your feelings, and how do you plan on moving forward without a guy who's been very pivotal in your career?
I'm glad you're getting to this early because it's kind of the elephant in the room, to be honest with you.
Nah, Tommy's the elephant in the room.
Right, red basket.
Did you guys have that set up early?
No, that's what you call working together, brother.
Fluid. You can tell these guys are comfortable with one another. I've been a TNA for they're about 20 years, give or take, right? Like I stepped away from New Japan Pro Wrestling, was under contract to Ring of Honor. And when we were told about Scott D'Amore leaving the company, I think probably because I'm at the point of being an elder statesman, even though I'm only 40, in TNA, a lot of people came to me and they were very upset. And understandably so, because this isn't just a change in management. This isn't just a new booker being appointed, the old one leaving. This is people who had more of a traumatic loss. And what they lost was a paternal figure. They lost a coach. They lost a mentor. They lost somebody that they've known since they were a teenager like me. The difference is that when you're around this industry long enough, and I feel comfortable saying this, you get used to this or you've seen it before. And I think this is probably maybe the sixth or seventh time in pro wrestling I've seen the booker or whoever's in charge upended and taken out of that position. It's the third time I've seen it in terms of like outside of wrestling too. It happened to me when I was in the workforce and physical therapy a few times too. And I kind of look at it from that standpoint as well, because we had somebody who wasn't just the booker, but he was in charge of a lot of the administrative work and the logistics as well. And he's gone. And Scott wore both those hats. I also had to express to people that oftentimes the worst case scenario looks like this. It looks like whoever is in charge is out, somebody else is in, and with them come their crew and the people that they trust. And I don't ever hate on anybody for that, right? That's their prerogative. But often you would see half the locker room just cut off and you never see these guys again. That's not what's happening here. And I tried to express to everybody in our locker room who came to me for perspective, Scott aimed the gun, but you were the bullet. Like, this is ours. This is our hard work. Yeah, we trusted him and he was there for us in so many ways, but you got in the ring and wrestled. Like, it was you. You did this. So try to remember that this is your legacy too. And I think when they get that bit of information, they start to ruminate on that a little bit. It's like, you know what? They're right. This is something that we created. Of course we didn't do it alone. Like, as I've gotten older, I realize that nobody's successful by themselves. You just aren't, right? Certainly not in pro wrestling. But at the same time, don't diminish what you did. And everybody in that locker room, at least for the past 2 years since I've been back, they were the ones that brought TNA back too. So Scott's gone. That happened. We move forward and we deal with this, because looking back on it at this point does nobody any good.
Alex, I thought that was an excellent answer.
Thank you. I appreciate that coming from you. I really do.
It is. It's also from the heart, because, I mean, it was such a hard thing to deal with. But, yes, you become not even callous to the situation, but I just looked at it as like a very, very popular manager got let go, and the team has to continue for the sake of the team and the fans.
And, absolutely.
You kind of like a Jimmy Johnson kind of scenario?
You know, it's so funny, Bully. I was thinking exactly the same thing as a Cowboys fan. Like, Jimmy Johnson, who I loved and I thought was the best coach in the NFL, he's gone. He gets fired. They bring in Barry Switzer. And what do they do? 2 years later, they win another Super Bowl. Because the talent, the coaching staff still stayed intact. It was exactly the same players and the same assistant coaches, and they went on to win a Super Bowl. So you take what Jimmy Johnson installed, you learn from what Jimmy Johnson taught you, and then you bring it into a new regime and maybe even learn from the new regime as well. And I think, Alex, you're 100% right. The players are still the same here. Like, you know, you're going into No Surrender this weekend. It's one hell of a card, a great main event, a great championship match. And the way that pro wrestling moves, and it moves so quickly, not that you're going to forget, but you're going to learn to adapt and move on. And I feel like Friday night with No Surrender is a big step in that direction.
I can't agree with you more. We can only control so many things in life. And certainly as pro wrestlers, we can only control so much in terms of the overall product. The only thing I focus on is helping people. And then when that bell rings, what I do inside the ring, that's all I've got.
I also, when we're talking about Hard to Kill, the main event, which was an awesome main event, we were talking earlier about storytelling and, you know, the smaller guy versus the bigger guy. Moose, on an interview, paid you the highest compliment, and he doesn't pay anybody compliments. He was just like, number one, Alex Shelley beat the crap out of me. He goes, I've never been beat up like that. And also, but he does things during the match that I'm learning and watching. And he's just like, and if I ever turn babyface, I'm going to use, because during that, and like he said, he is a general. And I was just like, who's this Moose talking? Because Moose doesn't ever talk like that. But it was an incredible main event. And, you know, you always have to at times work from underneath because of a bigger guy. But I mean, it was a special match. It really, really, even though it was a loss, but it was a very, very special match, I thought.
Yeah, and I take the perspective that I don't lose. I win or I learn, right? And that match made me better. I may have lost my title. I may not be the one carrying the TNA torch at the moment. But at the same time, I just beat the shit out of a guy who played five seasons in the NFL. So that tells me my secondary dream of being a free safety could have been a reality, right? But on top of that, I came back after that, and Scott D'Amore was the first person to talk to me. And he said, I'm so happy you became champion. And he listed all these things that I had done. And after you lose a belt, there's a certain way you feel, right? Like, you lose a big match, nobody wants to do that. But when he listed all these things, I thought, man, everything that I've decided on in my life leading to this point now makes a lot more sense. I felt very concrete in my decision-making, because God knows I've made some weird ones. And for Moose to say that, I respect the guy, period. That's it. He's probably the greatest athlete I've actually been in the ring with. And I feel like I gave everybody the best I possibly could have for 9 months, and certainly in that match.
And if Alex, I could just hang on 1 second, if I could peel the curtain back just a little bit. When Alex walked through that curtain, we were all having a great time watching that match. Pretty much the entire locker room, which is a testament for the locker room. And when he came back, everyone was clapping for him and giving him his props, because – he was our champion that got us to that dance. And I know that meant a lot to you, but it was a great match. But I don't really peel the curtain back that much, but I always have to give you your flowers.
I truly appreciate that. And honestly, to kind of give people a bit of a illustration of what it looked like, the response I got, and again, I don't mean to sound braggadocious, but the response I got backstage when I won the title was near identical to what happened when I came back behind the curtain after I lost it.
Alex, you've had tremendous success within TNA Impact Wrestling. You have been a world heavyweight champion on the single side. You have been a world heavyweight champion on the tag team side, and arguably probably could say that the Motor City Machine Guns were the best tag team in TNA history, along with Chris Sabin. Gun to your head, rest of your career, would you rather be a singles wrestler or a tag team wrestler?
Jeez, you know,
I'm only asking you this question because I've had the gun to my head with this question.
Right.
So I'd love to hear your take on it.
Right. And I feel like that would change day to day. And I'm sure you had that same response too, especially given what you did as a singles wrestler around my age too, right? Like just reinventing yourself, having that. I'd say tag team wrestling simply because there's a certain part of my brain that enjoys the problem solving. And when you get more moving parts, I find that art form to be unlike none other. That could change tomorrow. So I give that a little asterisk at the bottom, but I love tag team wrestling. And I never imagined myself being a tag team wrestler either. But certainly now, and I know you've seen it too, because we were part of it at one point in time. You see these ebbs and flows with tag team wrestling. And the thing about singles wrestling is that's always going to be there, right? Mano a mano. Always. It's always going to have single match main events. Tag team wrestling, I feel like, has the tendency to get lost over time. To me, the best tag teams, no offense, they were in the 80s, man. They were in the NWA, without a doubt. And you can't beat that. You can't beat the Fantastics, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, Brainbusters. And then it dips down. And then you got the golden era of WWF tag teams, right? Heart Foundation, Nasty Boys, Rockers, Orient Express, and then it dips down. And it comes back up in the 90s, again in the WWF, with you and Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys and the APA, Kai and Tai, like you name it. So I see these waves of it where they go away and there's like no tag teams. Who's going to teach people the art of tag team wrestling if that completely eradicates itself? And I think we're kind of hitting a bit of a downward point in tag team wrestling right now, because you're seeing a lot of the guys my age, like we're 40 over it, maybe just under, but there aren't any true tag teams coming up to really take our place. And you look at it 10 years ago, FTR, Young Bucks, Briscoes, Motor City Machine Guns, shit, Time Splitters. You had so many, and now it's kind of starting to dip a little bit. Well, it's our responsibility to carry on that lineage. As you taught me, we taught them. Gosh, and we're still around, so we have to keep teaching it. And I think that's a really, really important part of pro wrestling that has to stay alive.
Agreed. Bully, for you, I mean, you know, piggybacking what Alex just said, you as, you know, the most decorated tag team wrestler, but then having the opportunity to be a world champion with TNA, being main eventing in San Antonio, going up against Jeff Hardy and then winning that TNA championship. For you, Bully, I'll kind of throw that question back at you. What was more appealing to you? Being that tag team champion or having the opportunity to do it on your own and winning a singles world championship?
Well, to kind of piggyback off what Alex said, Alex never expected to be a tag team wrestler, nonetheless, a very successful tag team wrestler. I never expected to be a singles wrestler. I was a tag team guy from the first time I saw Afa and Sika and, you know, the Strongbows and Gurria and Martel. I was like, I want to do that. That was more entertaining to me. Four guys are more entertaining to me than two. So, but then, you know, me and Devon were very blessed to do it all. There wasn't anything left. Legitimately, we felt like Alexander the Great. We had conquered all of the lands, all of the territories. So what do we do now? Devon had expressed that he would like to try the singles thing. So I said, ah, screw it. I'll give it a shot too. But you guys kind of know how I am. If I'm going to do something, it's going to be balls to the wall. So to become a singles champion, for a promoter, a booker, to look at me and go, you have potential to be the guy here. It was a big deal. I was proud of myself. And I don't do the – I'm not very proud of myself or express the proud for myself stuff, because I already – I expected greatness from myself and my partner at all times. So when we did well, I was just like, yep, I'm just doing my job. So to have the ball handed to me – in TNA, and I think I scored. I was proud of myself. It was a great feeling, as I'm sure it was a great feeling for Alex to be able to get in there with Chris and conquer the tag team scene in TNA. And here's the curtain pulled back. We gave more to Alex and Chris than we gave given to any other tag team probably on the planet, because we enjoyed working with them. And we respected them. There's your answer.
Makes sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. And I feel like you kind of rely on your partner as well through the good and the bad. Where if you're a singles wrestler, it's all on your shoulders and it's all on your back. You know, Alex, for this journey now, for this second half of your career, and maybe at a time where you thought like with a singles, being a singles competitor wasn't in the cards. But since you've tasted this success and you're main eventing as a singles wrestler, how does that feel for you? Just the accomplishment of knowing, like you said, not only did you satisfy everything that you wanted to do, but to get that pat on the back, to be the person that's in the main event. As Tommy said before, the man that is drawing the house as the world champion. How satisfying is that to you at this stage in your career?
Extremely satisfying. At the same time, and this isn't to discount my appreciation for the opportunities I've been given, so please don't take it that way. I very much take a more local perspective rather than a global perspective. And what I mean by that is, this is cool. Okay, I'm champion and the company is transitioning and I'm in a high profile spot. At the end of the day, though, I don't do anything different. When I did media after I first won the title, everybody's question, I got this almost routinely, how do you prepare for this match? How do you prepare for this opponent? How are you doing with the pressure? And my answer was, I'm doing the same as I've always done, right? Like, especially after a few years of being in the workforce and splitting my schedule between working in physical therapy 40 hours a week and in 2022 doing over 800 matches. This was easy in the sense that I can just focus on pro wrestling. I can absolutely dedicate 100% of myself to it. So the work ethic never goes away. And to kind of highlight something that Bully said, you expect greatness from yourself. And that's why you're in the spot in the first place. So you have to understand that your best is good enough. I always focused on what my next step was. I didn't look miles down the road. I looked right in front of my feet. And to me, that was paramount in terms of how I approach my title reign and how I approach absolutely doing my best and fulfilling my potential day in, day out.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm looking forward to Friday again on Triller TV Plus, Impact Plus, main event, Moose, your TNA World Champion going up against our guest, Alex Shelley. Alex, we'll be watching. We'll be talking about it on Monday. And thank you so much for the time. We truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolute honor. I'd love to come back sometime. Thank you so much, everybody.
Good All stuff, right, Alex.
Alex Shelley, once again, in the main event, going up against Moose in a no surrender rules match for the TNA World Championship. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/Busted Open Trial to start your free trial today.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.